Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us on the line, Mark Hamrick, senior analyst, Bankrate.com, who joins us every week. The December jobless numbers are in, Mark. And what can we glean from those?
Good to be with you, my friend. And if I haven't had the chance to say it so far, I'm going to say Happy New Year. And with the wishes that you have a safe and successful and healthy year ahead, that's a pleasure to be with you.
As we look at these numbers,
I think they sort of close the book on 2020 and the economy in a way that sort of like good riddance, because we saw the first decline in jobs or hiring since the recovery that began back around May. We lost 22 million jobs in March and April, and then job growth began in May. And so it doesn't really surprise me at all. If anything, I suppose we can take some solace from the fact that the unemployment rate nationally remains stable at 6.7%. But, you know, we lost, and this is just, you know, it's head plant time when you hear this number. 500,000 jobs were lost last month in leisure and hospitality. And I don't have to tell you about what's going on that around the city where you live. And so, you know, it continues to be the case that many of the things that we love to do the most are being affected most negatively, whether it's leisure and hospitality, bars and restaurants, travel-related businesses and the like. But also over the past year, Newell, we've lost 1.3 million jobs in state and local governments, and those tend to be pillars of relative stability. And politics aside, if we can try to do that, as a society for a moment anyway, we need effective government, and we need that at a time when we are trying to administer vaccines, among other things. And so whether it's, you know, to get money to schools that have had to have a hard pivot under the circumstances of the pandemic, or money for first responders, to public health departments, you know, many of these entities have really been hurt because they've had to amp up their resources at the same time that tax revenues have been hurt by the pandemic. So the good news is that I think we are on a journey to a much better place. But, you know, as we've discussed before, about half of households have lost income during this pandemic. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck, and we're still in a precarious position. Those people aren't going to plan a trip to Paris immediately upon being vaccinated and feeling that it's safe to do so.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, this pandemic continues to confound us as we struggle now in the identification of these mutations, these new strains, trying to figure out the transmission rate, the virulence of same. Obviously, each and every time that this occurs and that we have one region or another going on lockdown, that really kind of thwarts any momentum that the economy has built in large part, does it not?
I think you're right, because, you know, I think as I look at my notes here, this will be week number 43 of the economic downturn related to the pandemic. And, you know, the economy can't rebound until the pandemic is made largely irrelevant in the current moment. So, you know, you think about opening your city back up to tourism in a way that would traditionally be the case. And here you guys are making congratulations a possible run for the Super Bowl. And my buddy does play-by-play for the Buffalo Bills, and they're doing pretty well. And he was saying, wouldn't it be ironic for Buffalo that if they make a Super Bowl run and nobody can go to the game, right? You know, we're in that kind of a situation now where the upending of our lives continues to evidence itself in different ways. And I think among the saddest aspects of that is the duration of this as well as the depth.
No, no doubt. Does this, you know, I know that there was initially when the vaccines got the emergency use authorization, people started immediately, and I guess everyone's guilty of it, myself as well, of kind of hoping and developing a rosy picture. The color of those petals seemed to be fading a little bit for me. How about you?
Well, it's a little like I don't want to spend the money on the lottery ticket. I'm hoping that will pay off. In other words, don't spend it before you got it.
Right.
And you know, there are these risks that I think are probably ultimately not going to be significant with respect to the variants of the virus and so forth, because the medical experts seem to think that what we have right now for vaccines will remain effective. But yeah, I mean, you know, my wife asked me the other day about what do we want to do once it's safe to do so, and I'm sort of along the mindset of I really am not, I can't really think about that right now. You know, I'm just not there yet. The day of, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it is after I get my first vaccine, I might, you know, start the old document on, hey, here are all the places around town and elsewhere I want to go. But yeah, and then so the economic cost of that, I think that's what's being applied broadly. And you see, for example, you know, Disney being down double-digit percentages in revenue because they don't have the ability to welcome people in large numbers to their theme parks. And that's just one big example, but that's indicative of, you know, one of the mightiest businesses in the world, you know, having been able to pivot digitally with obviously their streaming service, but that ain't the same as getting people to spend ridiculous amounts of money at Walt Disney World, you know?
Mark, you've been around a while, and you've gone through many transitions of power in D.C. I think a lot of folks don't really understand the breadth and depth of administration changes when it's an entirely different party, and now having a party that controls the executive and both branches of the legislative. Both houses of the legislative branch, how big a deal that actually is in retooling, redefining, and how that actually will impact the economy.
Sure. Yeah, I've been here since President Reagan was in office, and I was a college student when Jimmy Carter was. So I've seen him come and I've seen him go, and we'll see him come and go again. You know, there are two flavors to that, Newell. One is there is a part of government populated by civilian employees, the broadest part of the government, who are, for the most part, very well dedicated to the work and capable. And you can think of anybody from an air traffic controller to somebody who works for the FBI to somebody who's trying to work on making sure that we have vaccines for the next big viral threat. And then obviously people who are even civilian employees in all the various departments, whether it's the Defense Department, labor, the list goes on and on. So those are sort of the constants. So those are the people that I try to somewhat remind people about, is that they're highly important. And it's among the reasons why I trust the data, for example, in the monthly jobs report, because I know there are the civilian employees there who are dedicated to making it work, leaving aside the nuances of some of the inelegant parts of the report, or however you might like to look at that. But in terms of the tone or mood in the city, leaving the tumultuous events of the past week aside, if we can, the mood changes based on the administration. And it's just sort of a fact where President Trump, there was a part of his approach that was, you know, sort of aimed at really trying to have a bit of a revolution in the government. I think that in some of the cases of political appointees, he appointed people who were not invested in the actual mission of the department, but actually invested in the opposite of it. And so, you know, one of the bipartisan or nonpartisan arguments that I try to enunciate is that, you know, I don't care about political differences for the purpose of this discussion. We need competent government. Otherwise, we're going to be living in a jungle. And, you know, we need, you know, excellent law enforcement, which, you know, I think we typically have. You know, we need people who can land, get the airplanes from one tower to the next and all the other important jobs. And so to the extent that, you know, as taxpayers, really taxpayers and citizens, you know, it's incumbent to have people who are invested in the missions of the departments. We can argue about how they should go about executing those missions, but, you know, we want kids to be educated. We want the food supply to be safe. And those are some of the bare minimums, and it's going to be highly interesting to see not only what does happen under the administration, because they're clearly making a priority to improve the job market between Janet Yellen, the presumptive Treasury Secretary, that enunciated goal already from the Federal Reserve Chair who was nominated and approved under the Trump administration, and now essentially a labor union ally in the Labor Department. Whether one is in favor of unions or not, the reality is that the middle class has been hollowed out in our country for many, many years, going back before this president. And so to the extent that I think we would all benefit if the middle class does better, it's sort of like we go back to this, what we used to think was a point which would not be argued, and that is it's country above party. And in that instance, you know, typically outgoing presidents would say, We need the next president to succeed because the nation succeeds.
Right. And obviously that's going to be different this time. A lot of chatter around the first 100 days. And I guess, you know, it goes without saying that you don't want to have a misstep, that you'd like to be able to execute on certain things flawlessly, because that kind of sets the tone, I guess, for the remaining time within the presidency. Is that overstated in your view?
Is it overstated that a lot should be accomplished in the first 100 days?
Well, the importance of the first 100 days and execution the same.
Yeah. Well, maybe more so this time, much the same as what was confronting President Obama, because we've got a pandemic we got to put past us. And the other part is, you know, you and I talked many times over the summer about how essentially Congress and ultimately the president were failing to carry the ball when it came to enacting at least some other forms of economic relief legislation. That wasn't signed until December 27th, when we knew basically beginning in July that that was a glaring need of some kind, whether it was $2 trillion or a half billion, or I should say half trillion, whatever the number should have been. The fact that that was basically unattended to was a policy error. And so, you know, Biden now wants to say, we got to have another round. He may well be able to push that through. But, you know, I think the reality is that the urgency is going to be much higher right now than it would be, say, in the second half of this year, barring the tremendously unforeseen, because we have good reason to believe that the economy should be in a better place somehow by the end of 2021.
Yeah, obviously, I think this is going to be a very dynamic first 6 months of 2021, in my view. And it's going to be interesting to see how the distribution plan, the transition from the Trump administration to the Biden administration handles that. I was saying earlier that I was encouraged by the fact that President-elect Biden's going to keep Moncef Slaoui on for a little period of time, who was in charge of Operation Warp Speed. I thought there was a benefit to that.
Sure.
And I think it's a good signal in moving forward, because that, you know, when it comes to the vaccine, I can't think of a more important issue in this country than that one right now, obviously.
Yeah, job one. That is job one.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Mark Hamrick, as always, we truly enjoy speaking with you. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be with you. Take good care.
All righty. Mark Hamrick, senior analyst at BankRate.com. We will be right back, folks. Give us a shout on the whodatlending.com talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side of the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.